I do invite you to go with me to this, again, to the Gospel of John, which we've already read these verses this morning. As we begin this new study through John's Gospel, those verses are in the call to worship, and of course, you can also look within a Bible in the seat in front of you. And I would encourage you, as we are studying a new book of the Bible, maybe you're not in the practice of bringing your Bible to church or don't even have a Bible. I would encourage you, maybe this is the time. Start bringing a Bible to church. Start underlining verses. Start maybe making even notes out in the margin. And if you don't have a Bible, take one that's in front of you. Take it home. Put your name in it. It's yours. Take it and enjoy it. We had a family coming through this week actually looking for mercy help. And the man said, "I don't have a Bible. I need a Bible." And so it was a joy to be able to hand him a Bible and say, "Here, take it with you. Take and read and be blessed." As we do come to this new study in the Gospel of John, we do see right away that the Gospel of John opens with one of the most incredible and unique statements of all times. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's an incredible statement, isn't it? It grabs your attention, and it immediately gets you thinking. And that's what it was meant to do. And in fact, that's what the entire introduction of the Gospel of John was meant to do. And you might even say the way the entire book was written. It's meant to grab our attention, to grab us and to capture our attention to the uniqueness of who this Jesus, the Word, is. Because John not only shares in his gospel many accounts from the life of Jesus that the other gospels don't, but they collectively prove what John wants us to see. That Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in his name, we can have life. So before beginning the historical narrative of the gospel, John does something unique. He explains the theological significance of what he's about to recount. Here's the theological significance. Here's the main premise. Here's what you need to make sure you see. And here it is backed up and seen then within the historical life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in a sense, he's preparing us. He's preparing us for what he wants us to see and understand, and what's going to be proved and what that meaning is. And he knew also something else. He knew that these opening words would especially grab two kinds of people's attention. He knew that when he said, "In the beginning was the Word," that it would grab a Jewish person's attention. Because any time a Jewish person heard that phrase, where would they be taken? Well, the same way a Christian person, the same place a Christian person is taken. We're taken back to the book of Genesis, aren't we? We're back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. To the fact that in the beginning, it was God who created everything. It was God who gave it life and purpose and meaning. It was God who did this how? He did this by merely speaking and saying, "Let there be light," and what? There was light. "And let there be this," and there was, by the mere speaking of his voice, all these things took place. So it would make perfect sense to a Jewish person that in the beginning there was a Word. And by that Word, all things were made. But John also knew something else. He knew that when he said, "In the beginning was the Word," that it would also grab a Greek person's attention. Because the term that's translated into our Bible as Word is the Greek term logos. Y'all ever heard that before? Y'all have heard that. You've maybe seen it. Logos. It's a term that was used heavily in Greek culture to refer to the logic or to the reason for life. What the directing principle behind the world, whatever it is that explains the meaning of life. And interestingly, it was something that the Greeks constantly debated about. They would debate at the Areopagus, which is there in Athens on Mars Hills, it was also called, where the philosophers would gather and they would debate the heavy things of the world. And they would debate it, and the reason they would debate it and debate it is because, guess what? They couldn't agree. They couldn't figure it out. What's exactly the meaning of life? What's the purpose of life? What's the authority behind the life? What's the power? However you want to exactly word that. In fact, it was said that Plato, the great Greek philosopher, once said to a group of students, "It may be that someday there will come forth from God a word, a logos, who will reveal all mysteries and make everything plain." So think then about the significance of then him starting his gospel in this way, opening with, "In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Logos." What's he doing? He's setting the stage to reveal to both Jews and Greeks something hugely significant about the Word or Logos that they didn't understand or know, that wasn't created. They did not have a beginning. But by saying, "In the beginning was the Word," this Word, this Logos, has existed forever, is eternal. And as we'll get forward, was with God in the heavens. And as you think about this, what's one thing that's interesting to me is that there still exists groups of people like this who need the same thing to be revealed and explained to them. There's still a large segment of people that believe that there's a God, believe that there's a God who's behind everything, but they really don't know Him. They don't know Him through knowing Jesus. Therefore, they don't know how to have life through Him. They don't know how to have life through Him, and so they're they believe, but they don't know. And some they're just trying to make the best way that they can. But then there's also a group who see the order of the cosmos and want to know where it came from, but they don't even believe there is a creator, much less a creator that can be known, or one who can give a unified meaning to all of life, much less give eternal life. Have you ever thought about how many people fit in one of those two categories? They believe in God. They believe in a creator. They believe that there's someone behind, but they don't know Him. They may even know a lot. They may even know parts of the Bible and believe it's true, but they don't know God through Jesus. Then how many other people, they're denied that there even is a creator? There is one that can be known. There is one that can explain everything. And of course, there are those who thankfully do know something about the Word, who is in the beginning, and do know and do have life in His name. Of course, they constantly need to know even more. And there's always more, and so much more to be known. So it's a powerful, attention-grabbing, opening statement. But it obviously continues. Because if the Word was in the beginning, why do you think John next went on to tell them that the Word was with God? What's the significance of the Word being with God? Well, because being with God in this instance means to be in the closest possible fellowship and harmony with God the Father. Who was with God in the beginning? Who was with God in the very beginning, at the very time of creation? apparently, according to some scholars, even this phrase can literally be taken, the word was towards God. Or as F.F. Bruce writes, the whole existence of the word was oriented toward the Father. Which, of course, is demonstrated by how John goes on to say that all things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And the point of saying all of this was surely to show that this Word is a person distinct from God the Father, yet in the closest possible relationship or connection to Him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, was right there with Him, was right there involved and through the creation. And of course, you've got to think this is also written in anticipation of the last thing John's about to say about the Word. So we can understand that it differentiates between the two and yet unites them. The Word and the Father aren't identical, but they are one in all that they do. All which is going to be important to realize or to understand when we realize that John was intent on showing how Jesus is God's Son and at the same time is fully God. He's preparing them to understand that God has existed eternally in three persons with absolute unity. There's this incredible thing that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But John next explains, and the Word was God. The Word is a unique person and yet is also fully divine. What does that mean? Well, one way to explain it is that everything that can be said about the substance or essence of God the Father can be said about the essence of the Word. And everything that can be said about the essence of the Word can be said about the essence of God the Father. The Word is fully God. It's fully divine. It has all the power, all the character of God within the Word. And that's huge, isn't it? Because if they or we don't come to understand and to believe this, then we miss not only who this Word is and was as God, but also what He came to give us. We miss who He was, and of course that's what many people continue to do today. Do you realize how many people see Jesus merely as a good man in history? They see Him as an example to follow. But they do not and they will not recognize Him as the Son of God. And yet as we read these opening verses, in the beginning was the Word, it not only takes us back to the first verse in the Scriptures in the book of Genesis, it also takes us to the end of that opening chapter of Genesis and to the creation account. When God said what about making man? Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Ah! This is what was talked about in Genesis. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. God is a Godhead. God is an interpersonal God. Who, as we'll get into later, exists in three persons, yet is one God. There's some incredible things going on here that explains. And this Word was there with God and actually is God. This Word has all power, has all authority, has all the nature fully of God. And this, as we'll get into later, of course, what did this Word do? But first of all, think about what happens if we just fail to recognize the Word as being God. Then we've missed God Himself. We've missed his revelation. We've missed his self-disclosure to us. We've missed the greatest this greatest revelation that has ever happened, of God revealing himself even more to us. But of course, if we miss that, we also miss what he came to give us. And what did John say that he came to give us? Life and light, or light and life. Because as the Word who was in the beginning and was with God and was God, He's the source of light and life. He's the reason and explanation for everything that was made. He's the one who's given every created thing, if you can think about it, its life and its meaning, and cause it to all make sense. But not only that, he's also the one who not only has caused it and given life, he's the one, of course, that gives eternal life. So if you think about this about the Word, we realize that whatever revelation has come from God has flowed through Him. You ever thought of it that way? Whatever revelation has come from God has flowed through Jesus. He's the Word. And the life that God has given us through His Word is because of the light He's given us. And why do we need light so badly? Of course, because of the darkness. Because the light shines in the darkness. Because the light shines in the darkness, as it said in these verses at the end of verse 5, which encourages us, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's not overcome it. The darkness of our sin and alienation from God, the darkness of sin's destruction and the death that it brings, the darkness of sin's tyranny. And you know how sin tyrannizes and people begin to then terrorize and they begin to treat people in ways that are horrific because they sin against not only God, but they sin against each other. And the good news of this passage is even beginning is that the darkness has not overcome the light. No, the light has shined into the darkness. And the light is bringing life and light. It's shining. And so not only was this Word in the beginning, not only was it with God, not only was it God, not only was everything made through Him, salvation comes through Him. Eternal life is found in Him. I was found an old Table Talk devotional this week, and it put it like this. He said, He alone is the light of men, because He illumines our hearts and minds to the truth of God. He alone gives us life and opens our eyes so that we can see the light, the revelation of grace. He alone is the light of men. He alone gives us light so that we can see and enables us to recognize the revelation of grace. What's the revelation of grace? It's the revealing of how we may come to have God's undeserved favor and be made right with Him. He reveals that to us. The grace that every one of us in this room needs so desperately comes to us through the Word. The Word who was in the beginning. The Word who was with God. The Word who was and is and continues and always will be God. Do you see why the readers probably, they needed this kind of introduction? Do you see how it grabbed their attention? Do you see how it ought to grab our attention? We're in the same need. the world around us is in the same need of the light that alone can give life. The light that alone shines in the darkness is not going to be overcome. The light that alone is the very light of God. Which really brings us back to a basic question of application. A couple of questions of application for us as we just introduce this book and these verses this morning. Is where are we looking for life? Where are we looking for light? Where are you looking to explain the meaning of life? What do you believe is the source of eternal life? Is it something that you would say, well, I just haven't yet found? And I'm just trying to be the best person that I can be with the hopes that I've done enough in this life and it will be enough. I know there's somebody out there, but I don't know him. I believe there's a reason. I believe there's something behind this. I believe there's an existence of God. That might be where you come in. Or is it something you don't believe even exists? So you've adopted basically a eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die attitude. And this is all there is. Kind of like we were talking about in Sunday school. Listen to Tim Keller. We're just part of the cycle of life. And we'll just return to dirt and dust and we'll just be part of nature. And that's all there is. There's just this circle of life. You live, you die. Someone else takes your cells and they go in and they live and grow into something else. But that doesn't satisfy, as we learned. That doesn't satisfy. That doesn't answer. Or have you come to know the Word yourself? And are you continuing to come to know Him more and to experience ever-increasing light and life? That's what's before us in this gospel. It's for us to come to know the Word even more for ourselves. And as we come to know Him, the light that He gives us and the things that we come to not only know but to experience through knowing this Word, it gives life. And it gives increasing life, if we may say it that way. Better and better life. And of course, everlasting life with Him. Because He was not only in the beginning, He was not only with God, He not only was God, He is God and always will be God. And if we're united to Him, He will be our God forever and ever. And so as we look forward to our study through the Gospel of John in the coming year, here's what I encourage you to ask of the Lord. Ask the Lord to help us and others come to know His Son, the Word, in a much deeper way. Let's ask Him to shine in the darkness that still remains in us and is around us, and to give life-changing light and life to us and to those who currently don't know Him. Because as we'll see in the weeks to come, in the months to come, there is nothing we need more, and a person needs more, and there's nothing like coming to know God through His Son, the Word. It's that important. It's that crucial. It's that powerful. Because again, the Word is God. The Word is God. Has all the power, all the authority, all the character, all the truth. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, because it's going to be a lengthy study and it's just revealed, and it's just like a layer and a layer and a layer and a layer. And we're going to read things that some of y'all have heard before. But it's just this opening, and this opening, and this opening. Maybe the best way to put it is the light shines a little brighter, a little brighter, and it reveals more and more and more and more and more. Don't you want to know that about your Savior? Don't you want to know that about God's Son? Don't you want to understand that? That's what we're given in this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ through the gospel of John. Let's pray and ask God to do that. Lord God, we are excited to be in a new study of the gospel of John. We're excited, Lord, that you've given us this incredible revelation of yourself through the revealing of your Son. And Lord, these are deep and mysterious things in certain ways, but they're also, Lord, they're right there in front of us. They touch us immediately at our deepest need, because we need light and we need life. We need love. And you've provided it for us. And Lord, we do pray that you would shine brightly through your word into our hearts in this year to come. We pray that you would change us in dramatic ways. You know the darkness that still remains in us, in the areas that we are blind to, in the areas in which we struggle. You know, Lord, the darkness that is around us. And Lord, we seek to want to see your light shine, not only in us, but through us and around us. And so would you use your word in a mighty way? And Lord, as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and we think upon you specifically, Lord Jesus, and your body and blood in just a few moments, Lord, would you work in us to draw our hearts even near to you with what we know and we understand at this moment. And that, Lord, you would remind us of the incredible sacrifice that you made in order to make us right with God. Bless, Lord God, the ongoing ministry of your word. And Lord, we ask this in your most holy name. Amen.